The Green of the Grass, the Blue of the Sky by Dizzy Dreams. The first night, Lan Wangji almost didn't notice the man. He dreamt he was sitting on a quiet hillside overlooking a lake. Wind was blowing ribbons through the grass, soft as hair in his hands. He often dreamt like this. Quiet rememberings of home, longing dreams for the place he grew up, the breeze a salve over the sting of his homesick skin. He was watching the rippling gray glass surface of the water when he first became aware of him. A sound, a huff of laughter, almost low enough to be mistaken for the wave-soft hush of the grass. Lan Wangji turned toward it. The man was sitting to his right, a few feet behind him, his eyes on the lake as he plucked grass blades with his fingers. He glanced at Lan Wangji for a moment and smiled, before returning his gaze to the water. "Kinda boring here," he said, "but at least the view is nice." Lan Wangji had wanted to say something to that, had opened his mouth, but even as he'd done so, he felt the world trembling out from under him, the dream dissolving around the edges until it was gone. He awoke in his bed, the dream warm sand falling through his hands, leaving behind only the grainy remembrance of a man's smiling face. The second night was much the same. They sat quietly beside one another on the hill, the man plucking the grass. Lan Wangji wondered if he should stop him, but the grass grows back almost as fast as he pulls it up. Lan Wangji and the man's eyes connect again, and he opens his mouth to speak. The third night, the man leans against a single tree, his body in painterly repose. Lan Wangji hangs back, hoping to remember the details, to wake and hold this with him through the day. It is after a week of dreaming the man that Lan Wangji realizes that he dreams the man in color. He stares at him, warm, tan skin, pink mouth, and a crimson ribbon tied in his hair, the ends drawing round figures where it blows in the wind behind him. "Hey now," the man says, "if you keep looking at me like that, I'm going to get ideas." Lan Wangji looks away, heat blossoming, a bouquet of lust low in his stomach. It has been a while since he had one of those dreams. "Oh," the man says, a sound of small surprise. "Oh, wow, your ears are red." Lan Wangji faces him again. The man laughs. "Holy shit, that is so cute." The world goes into round pieces and falls apart. He sits alone in a field of pebbles. He blinks his eyes open to the soft dawn and rises to begin his day. The man is already there when Lan Wangji finds himself on the hill. The world has changed. There are blushes of red across the sky, watery echoes in the lake's reflection. He walks up to the man, who is standing in wait for him. "I can't believe it," the man says, and laughs a little. "I thought I was losing it. Nothing but black and white for weeks. I thought I was depressed. But look, red. Can you believe it?" Lan Wangji can believe it. He wonders if the man knows that he himself is rendered in color. "I wish there was more," the man sighs. "I bet you're even more beautiful in color." Lan Wangji says nothing. He wonders if the man would be as beautiful in black and white, but he finds he doesn't want to know. He prefers him as he is. They stand together and look over the changed world. "Do you ever wish we could go somewhere else?" Lan Wangji considers the question. When he is awake, he often finds himself wishing he were elsewhere. Although, usually, he is wishing that he is here, not just in cloud recesses, but in this dream version with the color man beside him. "I do," the man continues, "and I don't. I like it here. I used to think it was boring, but I think maybe this is just what I need. Somewhere calm, you know? escape from the noise, but still, it'd be nice to go somewhere new. I wish I could change things. I took a class once, but never figured it out. So I guess I'm stuck here for now. At least I've got good company. There's no one I'd rather be stuck with. He beams at Lan Wangji, who finds himself wondering if there is taste as well in the rich reds of the man's mouth. I enjoy your company as well, Lan Wangji says. The man gasps and turns the full weight of his startled attention on him. You can talk? It is like spring. Color blooms into the world in unexpected places, a paint by number and every touch of skin the brush. There is no longer silence in Lan Wangji's respite, but his life is filled with silence. He finds he does not miss it. The man is full of stories, expressing longing that Lan Wangji did not know existed in him. For a childhood spent in wild, untethered happiness. For hot, lazy days floating down a sluggish river. For spicy foods and wine. And also longing for things Lan Wangji knows well. For family, for comfort and purpose, for tenderness and passion, and to love with abandon. Green is the day their fingers brush together over the grass. Purple is the day the man plucks an iris from the ground and, laughing, tucks it into Lan Wangji's hair. You look beautiful in flowers. Blue is the day the man's hands drift to his forehead ribbon and asks, why do you wear that? Lan Wangji wants to speak, but the touch means family. The touch means love, and water pours from his mouth instead, spilling ink into the world. It colors the sky, the distant mountains, the deep reaches of the lake, and the man's eyes, which fill with silver where before there was only black. Lan Wangji realizes that the man is missing colors, too. Brown is the day they sit with their sides pressed together, and the man lays his head, warm and heavy and nearly real, onto his shoulder. Yellow arrives in a riot of the man's laughter, vivid and bright, the sun whirling into color from the sound of his joy. He wipes his eyes and looks at Lan Wangji, and the laughter falls away. Worry snakes in threads around his wrists, but then the man says, his voice warm with wonder, your eyes are gold. His fingers close around Lan Wangji's wrists, and the threads dissolve between them. Over the weeks, the man touches color into Lan Wangji's dream. A finger tracing the cup of his ear wraps Lan Wangji's robes in delicate cream. The man laughs and takes his hands, pressing their palms together. Your hands are so big! Is warm burgundy glowing in their hair in the afternoon sun. They lay together on the ground, the man's head resting on Lan Wangji's shoulder. He tilts his face up to say something, and his eyelashes brush Lan Wangji's jaw, and sunbright green flutters through the leaves overhead. Lan Wangji does not repel from the touch as he does in his waking life. This, like the noise, like the longing for things he's never known, are seeds planted in his core. He carries them through his day as they germinate, sending out shoots of bright new life. We should go swimming, the man says one day, excitement shining in his face. Lan Wangji looks at the lake and thinks of the man's stories of growing up on the water. He nods. Race you there, the man cries, and begins to shed his robes as he runs to the water's edge. Lan Wangji disrobes down to his trousers and follows. The man jumps into the water and resurfaces with a shriek. It's freezing! Lan Wangji walks in, the cold enveloping him in inches. The man laughs impatiently and splashes him. They swim in the snow-melted lake until their lips are blue. When they finally walk out of the water, they are both shivering. I didn't realize I could get cold here, the man says. Are you cold too? Feel my hands. He reaches out and presses his hands against Lan Wangji's chest. Orange bursts into the sunset horizon like fire, and the cold burns off of him. "Oh," the man says. Lan Wangji presses his hands on top of the man's, where they rest on his chest. Waves of inky blue-black trail-like watercolors across the eastern rim of the sky. They lean together, and their lips meet. Through the low, open shutters of his eyes, Lan Wangji sees the colors blaze across the man's face like fireworks, brilliant and blinding and fleeting. They seep star-bright out of the cracks of the world. They pull apart as the jagged planes of the dream break into neon around them. "Oh, God," the man says, staring into Lan Wangji's eyes. "It's no fair that you're just a dream." The world explodes into consciousness. Lan Wangji is in bed. He sits up and pulls the blanket back. It is cold in his apartment, the floor icy beneath his feet, as he crosses the room to adjust the radiator. He dresses, feeling strange as he pulls on a sweater and jeans, as though his head is still in the dream, expecting layers of silk robes and a forehead ribbon. He goes about his day as scheduled, delivering lectures to halls filled with half-asleep students. The man's words are stamped in his blood, rattling in the chambers of his heart. The man had said that Lan Wangji was the dream. He calls his brother that night before bed. "Wangji, it's late. Is everything okay?" "I am fine," he says. "I wanted to speak with you."
"Of course. What did you want to talk about?"
Lan Zichen slides easily into his therapist voice, and Lan Wangji feels relief. "The dreams."
"The ones with the man?"
"Yes," Lan Wangji says. "Brother, the last time," he said. He pauses, uncertain how to continue.
"Was it something that upset you?"
"No," Lan Wangji answers. "He said that I was the dream." A beat of silence as his brother contemplates this.
"Why do you think he said that?"
"I am not sure," Lan Wangji says. "But all day I have been thinking. What if he is real?" A longer silence follows this. Lan Wangji can imagine his brother's concerned face on the other end of the line.
"Do you want him to be real?"
"Yes," Lan Wangji says with no embarrassment.
"Tell me more about that."
Lan Wangji smiles. "He makes the world colorful. I find myself missing things I did not know I ever wanted."
"What kinds of things?"
"Laughter, intimacy, touch."
"Wangji," Lan Zichen says, his professional demeanor falling away and revealing the sadness of a man for his brother. "Are you lonely?"
"Not when I am with him."
"But he's not real." "Have you noticed it's never night here?"
the man asks, gesturing at the sky from where he lays with his head in Lan Wangji's lap. He drags his fingers through the man's hair, delicately combing out the knots. "Sometimes it's dawn, or it's midday, or it's evening, or even dusk," the man says. "But it's never night." "I had not noticed."
"It'd be nice to look up at the stars with you. Do you know the constellations?"
"Some."
"Yeah, same. Some of them. My Gigi used to tell me stories about the stars. I don't know if they were real constellations or not."
His voice catches. Lan Wangji looks down and sees that the man's eyes are wet.
"I miss her so much."
"It isn't reasonable. It isn't logical." But Lan Wangji cannot escape his conviction that this isn't just in his head. Nothing like the man has ever existed in him, could have existed in him. He checks out a book from the university library on lucid dreaming. "Come," Lan Wangji says, taking the man's hand and pulling him down to lie on the grass next to him. "Watch." The man is looking at him. Lan Wangji gently takes his chin and turns his head so he's looking at the sky.
The man's laughter vibrates through his hand. Lan Wangji closes his eyes and pushes into the world. The man gasps. When he opens his eyes again, the world is dark around them, and the sky overhead is a glimmering sheet of stars. "Did you?" the man asks, but his voice breaks and he doesn't seem to be able to speak. They reach for each other, a pair of spin-blind dancers falling with certainty into each other's arms. The man is not there. Lan Wangji sits in his usual spot overlooking the lake and waits. The silence crystallizes around him. He is frozen in amber, a fossil waiting to be discovered. The man does not come. Lan Wangji is pacing beneath the tree. The world is enrobed in morning white snow. "Hey." The man is there. He looks anxiously at Lan Wangji. "I didn't sleep last night," he says. "It was a bad night. I missed you." Lan Wangji walks over to him, the snow melting under his heat, the green heads of spring trailing in his wake. They come together and hold each other, their hands clinging. There is fear in it. The moment feels thin, the dream they're wrapped in unable to contain what is growing between them. It is tissue paper, and it tears away. He does not dream for 3 nights. He drops into sleep, and there is nothing. There is not even darkness. He sleeps, slipping out of the world without realizing, and then he wakes. It is a damp, gray feeling, thick on his limbs as he moves through his days. Color bleeds out of his raw edges until he is limp and faded. He needs to see him again. He needs to try. The world is unraveling. It spirals out from the edges. He tries to clutch the cords of the dream as they pull away, to hold them in place a little longer. "You're here!" The man is running towards him from an impossible distance. Lan Wangji drops the cords and runs. The world is spinning apart. The distance between them grows, even as they hurl themselves towards one another. He won't make it. The world is slipping out from under his feet. "What is your name?" Lan Wangji asks. He needs to know. He has to know. The man stops running. He begins to unravel. "Wei Ying," he says, and then he is 1,000 cords of light. "Wei Ying." He wakes up. "Wei Ying." He brews his tea. "Wei Ying." He teaches his classes. "Wei Ying." He plays music to relax. "Wei Ying." He grades his students' papers. "Wei Ying." He cooks his dinner. "Wei Ying." He prepares for bed. "Wei Ying." He falls asleep. He looks for him. The name makes him real, more real than Lan Wangji had dared to hope. But he doesn't find him. He cannot find a man named Wei Ying, whose smile is heat and who touches color into the world. "Wangji, are you okay?"
"I am fine."
"Have you been sleeping okay? You look exhausted."
"My sleep schedule has not changed."
"Are you still having those dreams? The strange ones about the man?"
"No."
He sleeps, but he does not rest. He lies down at night and wakes with the exhaustion of weeks draped heavy over him. His body is steeped in weariness. He is waterlogged with knowing his own loneliness. There is a bright circle of light on a black horizon. He runs towards it. "Wei Ying! Wei Ying!" The light is shrinking. He cannot catch it. The voice is barely audible as it cries, "I'm here!" before everything blinks back into nothingness. He tries going to a hypnotist. He doesn't expect it to work, but he is desperate to end the dreamless nights. She is a young woman, dark-eyed and stern-faced. She turns out the lights and directs his attention to a lit candle. He traces the flickering edges of the flame. Things are oily, unfocused, and slippery. The world is water, and Gusu is there, a slick rainbow on the surface. It breaks into pieces and slips away. He returns several times a week, but he is unable to summon the hill by the lake again. He tries different combinations of characters for Wei Ying. He looks through news articles, social media, birth records, obituaries. Nothing. He finds nothing. He needs more. More than the name. One more night. Just one more night. You should go out. Meet someone.
I do not go out.
That's my point, Wangji. You need to try. Meet people. Make friends.
I am not interested.
Wangji, his brother sounds sad, desperate. Please, I hate to see you lonely. The please is what does it. The please in the aching tired that has wormed holes through his bones.
I will try.
He tries. It has been months of empty nights, months of searching and finding nothing. He tries. The man sitting across from him is soft-spoken, elegant. He has quiet confidence. He is intelligent without pridefulness. He is good-looking, and he speaks to Lan Wangji kindly and does not push at his silence. At the end of the night, he looks at Lan Wangji. He leans in a little and then stops.
Look at you, his date says. You've been somewhere else all night, haven't you?
Lan Wangji says nothing. He has been trapped in and locked out of Gusu for months. He does not go on any more dates. What if Wei Ying isn't real? The thought trails him like a shadow. He cannot find him. Why can't he find him? What if Wei Ying isn't real? He grieves it, but he does not believe it. He stands in the eye of a storm, a hurricane of colors twisting around him. It shrieks at him, the sound of wind and words knotted together into chains. He wants to close his eyes, to cover his ears. It is too much, too much, too much. But he does not. He is dreaming. He is dreaming, and there is color, and there is sound. You're here! The man is there. Wei Ying is there, close enough to touch. They grab at each other, hands wrapping around each other's wrists, even as the storm around them kicks up and begins to tear them apart. No. No, not now. Not when he's found him again at last. You asked my name, the man yells over the storm as they cling together, as they are dragged apart. Why wouldn't you know my name? You're me, aren't you? You're my dream, you're me.
Wei Ying.
It is all he can say. It is all his heart has said for so long that he's lost all other words. There is only Wei Ying. Wei Ying sobs. Their hands are slipping from each other's wrists. Lan Wangji holds on as tight as he can. Are you real? Wei Ying asks. Are you real? What is your name? Their hands slip. They are held together for a brief moment only by their fingertips.
Lan Zhen, he says, locking eyes with Wei Ying and willing him to see his realness.
Lan Zhen, Wei Ying says. Lan Zhen, find me. Their fingers slip apart. He begins his search anew. He thinks of everything Wei Ying has told him. Growing up on a river, the long hot summers, the spicy food, his sister's lotus root and pork rib soup. He takes a leave of absence from the university and travels to any likely city, asking around, searching for Wei Ying. He does not find him. "Wang Ji," Lan Zichen says, "please come home." He cannot find Wei Ying. He has looked and Wei Ying is nowhere. Lan Wangji goes home. For the first several days of his visit, Lan Wangji spends most of his waking hours with his brother and his uncle. They speak to him in quiet voices, spend evenings listening to soft music, and treat him with the gentle love he's used to. He lets it steady him. He grounds himself in the familiar rhythms of his home. On his fourth day, he visits the hill by the lake. The emptiness is a bell tone, clear and low and long. He lays down on the grass and pulls grief around him like a blanket. He falls asleep. He is on the hill by the lake. There is an urgent feeling tugging at him, telling him to move. He stands and feels it pulling him along like a string tied around his finger. He follows it into the water. Fully robed, he walks into the water up to his knees, his waist, his shoulders. Soon, he is fully submerged and the string is no longer just tugging. He is hauled downward by it into the depths of the lake, pulled downward deeper than the lake should go. Pulled through the water until he opens his mouth, desperate for air, and the water rushes in. And then he is in a cave. It is wintry inside, dark. Chords pulse through the cave, waves of sound, a heartbeat. There is a tug on the string. Wei Ying is there, the other end tied around his finger. "Lan Zhan," he says, rushing for him. And a cord of sound crashes between them. The ice cracks beneath the force. The world begins to fracture. "Where? Where?" Wei Ying cries into the shattered ice of the dream. "Come to Gusu," Lan Wangji says as he breaks into pieces. He stays in Gusu for as long as he can, long past his original plans. The university has accepted his sabbatical request, and he begins work on a story. A story about a man who was made of sound and color. A man who could disappear. He spends his days on the hill, writing. He spends his nights asleep in his bed, and there are no dreams. A year passes, and he needs to return to his home, to his work, to his life. He packs his bags and prepares for the flight back. He decides that this will be it. He will leave and will close this chapter. He promised his brother he would try. He visits the hill before he goes. He has a few hours before he has to leave for the airport. It is late summer and the sun is high and warm, the wings and songs of insects thrumming through the air. He lies back and lets his eyes drift closed. He is on the hill. Things around him are warm and alive. Footsteps approach him from behind. He turns to look, but there is no one there. Lan Mengji opens his eyes. He is on the hill. There are footsteps behind him. He turns. There is someone there. He is wearing a red t-shirt and jeans. They stare at each other for a long moment, waiting for the world to come apart around them. It does not. "Lan Zhan?" Wei Ying says, stepping forward towards him. Lan Wangji stands. "Wei Ying." He reaches out an arm to him, and Wei Ying steps in. "Lan Zhan, I found you," Wei Ying says, his shoulders shaking with either laughter or tears. I can't believe it. I can't believe it. You have no idea. I've looked for so long.
Come to Gusu. Do you know how big Gusu is?
Weiying, Lanwangji says again. Weiying looks up at him and their eyes lock together.
You are real.
Weiying laughs at this. You too, Lanzhan. He reaches up a hand behind Lanwangji's head, and then Lanwangji raises a hand to his face, and they pull together. Their lips meet, and behind his closed eyes, the darkness bursts with color.